Welcome to the God Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. Our goal is to help you see that no matter what problem you're facing, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. Before we begin, I'd like to inform you of our special offer. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at OrdainedChaplainsUSA.org. Now, here's your host, the president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach, Daniel White III.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. This is podcast number 40, or episode 40. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Ordained Chaplains USA and life coach. We don't have to look far to see that many people in the world are dealing with a variety of problems and are in need of solutions. May God deliver us from people who like to dialogue, who like to have conversations, but they never move the ball across the goal line. They don't have any solutions. No matter what problem you are facing, whether it is emotional, psychological, or spiritual, Jesus Christ holds the solution that you need. As we walk together in this podcast, we will address a number of topics that exist in the world and present solutions from the Bible that will help you heal and live life more abundantly. Our aim in this podcast is, number one, to introduce you to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the ultimate source of all healing. Number two, to provide you with information that will help you to understand the problem that you're dealing with, that you are facing. And number three, to help you by providing solutions to your problems. Our passage from the Word of God today is 1 Thessalonians 4:14. It reads, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Allow me to share with you some interesting points on this passage from Matthew Henry's commentary. "There are some things," he says, "which we cannot be ignorant of concerning those that are asleep. For the land they are removed to is a land of darkness, which we know but little of and have no correspondence with. To go among the dead is to go among we know not whom, and to live we know not how. Death is an unknown thing, and the state of the dead, or the state after death, we are much in the dark about. Yet there are some things concerning those especially who die in the Lord that we need not and ought not to be ignorant of. And if these things be really understood and duly considered, they will be sufficient to allay our sorrow concerning them. They sleep in Jesus. They are asleep. They have fallen asleep in Christ. Death does not annihilate them. It is but a sleep to them. It is their rest, an undisturbed rest. They have retired out of this troublesome world to rest from all their labors and sorrows, and they sleep in Jesus. Being still in union with him, they sleep in his arms and are under his special care and protection. Their souls are in his presence, and their dust is under his care and power, so that they are not lost, nor are they losers, but great gainers, great winners, if you will, by death, and their removal out of this world is into a better place. They shall be raised up from the dead and awakened out of their sleep, for God will bring them with him. They then are with God and are better where they are than when they were here. And when God comes, he will bring them with him. Beloved, our quote for today is from Augustine. He said, "We want to reach the kingdom of God, but we don't want to travel by way of death." And yet there stands necessity saying, "This way, please. Do not hesitate, man, to go this way, when this is the way that God came to you." Dear friends, our problem today is the problem of death in your life. Part 5 from the Fine Book as a Guide. And that is a part of the title of this book, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. Oftentimes in life, we don't need anything in depth. We just need a guide. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of this book, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Action steps. Dr. Matthew Henry said, "He whose head is in heaven need not fear to put his feet into the grave." And I say amen and amen. Number 1, focus on basic needs. Be sure to focus on basic needs when you're going through the time of death in your life. Food, shelter, safety. If these needs are not met, the critical emotional issues will be even harder to handle. Focus on basic needs. People who are experiencing shock may neglect hygiene, necessary medications, or meals. Number 2, discover the best ways of coping. Assess the level of emotions present by using some of the questions suggested previously. Some people process crisis emotions better by being busy, while others need to be alone and to contemplate. If you're the former, find something simple to do. Maybe write. Maybe go and help others who are going through a greater tragedy than you. And if you're the latter, find a quiet place to be alone. But make sure you can handle being alone. Some people can, some people can't. Number 3, seek social interaction. Do not withdraw from social interactions. It may be painful, but don't do that. Find support in your friendships. Churches should have a ministry for those who are going through grief and mourning. They should have a group who of people, of brothers and sisters in Christ who have gone through this, and they can walk you through it. There's nothing like that, of course, on earth. And God uses that. some friendships will be different. For example, if a spouse has died, but your friends will still want your company even without the other person. Number four, help the children. If children are involved, seek counseling for the entire family on strategies to help them. Children often feel responsible for a sudden death, and teens can react in particularly complicated ways if a relationship with the deceased was tense. Children need, first of all, to feel secure, to know that everything is going to be all right and that there is some normalcy involved. Reassure them that their family will be okay. If a parent is in acute distress, try to ensure that the children are cared for by a familiar person who is calm. Avoid statements that indicate to a child that God caused the death because he wanted the deceased person in heaven with him. They might think foolishly that God is selfish, and that's not the case. Demystify death for children. Tell children the truth. Do not lie to them. Most funeral directors will openly answer a child's curious questions, but it would be better if you did it, somebody in the family. Help children begin to process feelings of anger, guilt, and abandonment, resentment. They need to know that such feelings are normal. Number five, allow time. It will take time for the pain to subside. You need to truly grieve. The grieving process is healthy. Let it happen. Let it happen. Go through it. God will give you grace through it. Be reminded when appropriate of the stages the grieving person goes through. Patricia Johnson for Focus on the Family writes on the topic of grief, trauma, or depression. She writes, after a loved one dies, those who grieve may find it difficult to function in everyday situations. Lingering emotional turmoil, a sense of shock, and social withdrawal are painful but natural reactions. Despite these expected symptoms, is it possible to become stuck in grief? What if the loss prompts thoughts of self-harm or even suicide? And how can trauma affect the healing process? Symptoms of grief, depression, and trauma can resemble one another. In order to respond to these symptoms appropriately and move on with life, it is crucial to understand the differences. When grief becomes clinical depression is another subject she touches on in detail. She goes on to say, it's not unusual for those who grieve to feel despondent, empty, and anxious. Grief encompasses different emotions for different people, and it takes time to adjust to the loss and any accompanying changes. Sometimes, though, the depressive state doesn't diminish over time and continues to disrupt everyday life. Some people can't shake it. This may be an indicator of a depressive disorder. According to the American Cancer Society, about 1 in 5 bereaved people will develop major depression. It is difficult to predict whose grief will or won't turn into depression following the death of a loved one. However, the following risk factors may increase the likelihood. a history of depression, little previous experience with death, no support network, intense depressive reactions early in the grieving process, prior issues with alcohol or drug abuse. It is possible to grieve without being depressed. That said, there is a difference between the sadness of grief and the unrelenting numbness of depression. Here are signs indicating that a grieving person may also be depressed. He or she shows symptoms of grief for 4 or more months with no sign of improvement. He or she have prolonged or severe inability to function at home, work, and or school. Stays in bed all day doing nothing. Does not even really want to eat. They just get up and get a piece of toast. And sadder still, thinks of suicide and or has a preoccupation with death. Speaks and moves slowly. Hallucinates, which may or may not relate to the deceased. Feels worthless. Feels abandoned. Feels alone. If symptoms persist, and especially if suicidal thoughts occur, it is imperative to reach out to a family doctor, counselor, or pastor. Those with depression will not simply snap out of it. However, depression is highly treatable, and with competent care, a healthy life can be restored. When trauma blocks grief, losing a loved one in a sudden or unexpected way, a car accident, heart attack, murder, or suicide, may result in a traumatic reaction that hinders the grieving process. This sense of shock can also occur when the death is expected, as in the case of a long illness. If a person is run down psychologically, suffers from anxiety or depression, or has endured previous traumatic experiences, it's more difficult to handle another setback. As a result, additional grief symptoms can be unbearable. In order to cope, the traumatized individual may attempt to avoid grieving altogether. The National Center for Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder highlights broad types of symptoms that differentiate trauma from grief. Re-experiencing symptoms mentally replays the trauma while awake or asleep. Avoidance symptoms avoids trauma-related activities, places thoughts or feelings. Numbing symptoms, loss, avoids trauma-related activities, such as places, thoughts, or feelings, or people. I wanted to repeat that so that you will understand that. Numbing symptoms, loss of emotions, especially positive ones, arousal symptoms, difficulty concentrating and sleeping, and a heightened sense of being on guard. Over time, if symptoms continue to influence life at work and home, counseling is advised. In addition to support groups, treatments that are both comforting and effective are available. Grieving the loss may be painful, but it is necessary to allow healing to occur. Beloved, in our next podcast, we will continue looking at the problem of death in your life. Holy Father God, prepare us for the inevitable. It is a strange thing to us, as you know. And Lord, we pray that you would give us grace to deal with the death of loved ones in our families. For it is more painful for most of us to go through the death of a loved one than to go through death ourselves. And so, Lord, give us grace for the dying hours of our lives. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend of mine, if you are listening today and you have never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, nobody can help you with your anger issues better than the Savior, Jesus Christ. Allow him to save your soul from sin and hell. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, and thou you shalt be saved. Here's how you can be saved from sin, anger, and hell, and have a home in heaven when you die. In more detail. First, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. You have sin in your life. You are sinful. And that you have broken God's law. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell because of your sins. We die physically because of our sins, and our bodies go to the grave. Our soul goes to hell if we have never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, dear friend, this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ himself said in John 3:16 in the Holy Bible, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, dear friend, if you need further coaching, please visit our website at www.ordainedchaplainsusa.org. If you have other questions about life's problems for this podcast, please email us at coach@ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Until next time, my beloved, please remember that God has a solution to all of your problems. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the God's Solutions for Today's Problems podcast. If this podcast has been a help and blessing to you, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book we are using in this podcast, The Guide to Biblical Counseling, by Dr. Tim Clinton and Dr. Ron Hawkins. It is available on our website for just $30. You can make your purchase today at ordainedchaplainsusa.org. Please feel free to subscribe, rate, and leave a comment about this podcast on iTunes. You can also listen to the God Solutions for Today's Problems on SoundCloud, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, BlackBerry Podcast, and via podcasting apps on the Google Play Store and the Amazon App Store. God bless you.